Representative Mia Love was back in the news this week after she said she's reimbursing taxpayers for a flight. So what happened? I posed that question to Thomas Burr, Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics.
You know, we're still wondering to some degree, but here are the facts. House records show that on February 5th and February 6th, consecutive days, Love flew from Washington to Salt Lake City on both days and was reimbursed for both flights. You know, it's kind of unbelievable that she actually flew back and then flew back again. So, and her office says that, yes, actually, she missed the first flight and she took the second, and she shouldn't have had to pay for the first, but she had to. That's about $540 each flight. Essentially, last week, I was being told by our office that it was, you know, a clerical mistake, that the flight should have been canceled, she shouldn't have been charged, but she was. But then Monday, her office said that she's now going to reimburse taxpayers. And that's the second time this year that's happened. Your listeners probably recall that back in September, she said she would reimburse for flights for coming out for the White House Correspondents' Dinner because the House rules didn't allow her to charge those to her congressional account. All in all, this is kind of creating that narrative that Democrats are looking for, that she's not the fiscal conservative that she says she is. We are talking about, you know, a small amount of money in the scope of things, but it makes for headlines, I guess.
Well, and it's kind of similar to what we've been hearing about, wasn't it Marco Rubio, or I can't remember now.
Yeah, Senator Rubio had some issues with his party-issued credit card and some purchases he made that he paid back. But yeah, it goes along similar lines that critics want to point to say that, well, look at what they did in their own personal lives. How would they run the government?
Right, right. Well, okay, speaking of Congresswoman Love, there is a new ranking on her chances of winning her seat again. Is she in trouble?
You know, it's still very early. We're, you know, a year out from the election, a little less than a year out from the election. But the Cook Political Report, which is a, you know, widely respected political handicapper here in Washington, changed the district from likely Republican to, quote, lean Republican. And what that means is before it was pretty much a sure shot that it was going to be Love's race. And now it's just saying, well, there's still a good shot, but it's not a pretty good shot. It's not a bad spot to be in, but, you know, safe Republican would be a better position for her to be, you know, ranked right now. The Doug Owens campaign, who he ran against her in 2014 and lost by, what, 4 points or so, he's seizing on that and saying she's vulnerable. So, again, I guess we have to see, but there's a lot of green, a lot of time left.
And is the Cook Political Report, Thomas, just to follow up on this for a second, are they basing their ranking of, you know, leaning Republican on polling, or I guess, you know, how is that gauged?
Yeah, you know, they do a lot of they do interviews. They look at, you know, what's happening in the race. So, you know, they change their rating essentially because of the White House Correspondents Association flight issue, the fact that the Democrats are really going to push for Doug Owens and are really getting involved in the race. And when you see things like that, they see that, well, maybe this isn't as safe as we thought it was earlier.
Well, very interesting. Thomas, meanwhile, on the presidential front, we had another GOP debate this week. Who came out the winner?
Well, you know, I guess you could say, you know, Donald Trump or Ben Carson, you know, Ted Cruz had a fine night. Jeb Bush did not have a great night. But really, this was more of a snooze compared to kind of the past debates we've seen. After that CNBC debate that was roundly criticized, the moderators this time were more afraid of pushing back or in facing, you know, that they were being biased or asking biased questions if they probed too much. So we really didn't see that follow-up questions that maybe should have been asked. It really was more of a mix of bumper sticker slogans and talking points.
And what does that say about, you know, how debates are changing? It seems like there's more and more of these network debates or debates that are, you know, built around gaining a bunch of ratings as opposed to actually having sort of something in the public interest.
You know, that's the thing. We should really stop calling these things debates. Let's call them forums. That's really what they are. It's not like they're really debating each other. They're standing on stage and answering questions. That's a forum. You know, if we really got them to where they're asking each other questions and there's follow-up, that would actually be a real debate. But we're seeing it shift away from that.
Well, it's a state of modern politics, I guess, Thomas, and you're there to cover it for us. We appreciate your filling us in. And once again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Roger.
That's Thomas Burr, Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics. Burr joins us regularly for these conversations, and you can find a link to Political Cornflakes on our website, kcpw.org.